Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Taking you now into what I spoke to you about at the top of the show, which of course is, I mean, it's not a completely new space that we're in, right? But it's the shift slightly backward to the previously 45th and soon to be 47th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. He is currently taking the oath of office in D.C. And we will cross live to Washington, D.C. With D.C.-based correspondent Pearl Matibe shortly, right after he's taken the oath. Excuse me. Well, taken the oath might be a Freudian slip. But once right after he's taken the oath, and it would be awesome to talk to her about the mood once we're now in official in a Trump presidency. But quickly, ahead of that, I'm very excited to chat with Thembi Safakude. We've spoken to him before on the show, AfriSid Senior Research Fellow and the Director. And we're going to speak a little bit with Thembi about the big picture. Let's start with the big picture of the continent, the world, the geopolitical impact of this shift. Thembi, welcome back to Kaya Biz. How are you this evening? You're muted. Sorry, Thembi, we almost able to hear you. Evening.
Can you hear me?
We hear you. Welcome back to Kaya Biz. How are you doing, Thembi?
Thank you. Thanks very much for having me.
Let's get your first impressions of this particular moment from a geopolitical perspective. What are your thoughts? You have a slant towards Asia and Africa, and I'm sure the global south in general, but may very well have views from a broader perspective.
Well, I had a different thought and feeling about Donald Trump coming into power, having listened to him and his very, troubling rhetoric over the past. But after what happened over the weekend with the ceasefire in Gaza, I'm beginning to believe that he might just bring in some interesting politics and he might just bring in some interesting economics in the world. So we're all looking forward to him now. So my views are a bit softened compared to days before he was elected.
Okay, he's taking a great deal of credit for the ceasefire that happened over the weekend, or at the very least, I mean, it's the same deal from last year, May, but for getting it over the line with the most reticent side of the deal, which of course all along has been Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu. So are you suggesting his influence and his no-nonsense sense of let's just get done with these things that I don't find important, not necessarily for altruistic reasons, but at the very least he gets it done?
Yeah, I mean, it is a Joe Biden crafted deal, but the person who got it accepted by Benjamin Netanyahu was Donald Trump, without doubt, the fact that it was on the 19th. A couple of hours before the inauguration, it tells you who was behind this deal and who made it happen. So we're hopeful that at least in the Middle East, he's going to try and implement some politics that will see stability and economic development. We're not quite sure what the position is going to be towards Africa and Southern Africans in particular, but we're all hopeful, given what has transpired over the weekend.
And will a similar outcome perhaps happening with his close relationship with Vladimir Putin and his ability, I suppose, to be relatively firm in a negotiation, do you think that has positive impacts for us, or was this the more important one for the continent?
I think his relationship with Vladimir Putin is going to prove to be much, much more interesting. The fact that he's not very happy nor friendly towards the European Union and some of the European countries, and he has indicated that he will try and reach an agreement or a ceasefire in Ukraine in that war that's currently raging between Russia and Ukraine. That again gives you an indication that we are up for very interesting times ahead. But importantly, Trump is a transactional president, and I think what will dominate his presidency moving forward is mainly business. So the reason why he has not been friendly nor happy with the European Union, including some of the European countries, is because skewed contributions towards NATO. So it had nothing to do with whether NATO was important or not for him. It's business. And if business does not translate favorably to the United States, of course, he has turned it or at least indicated that's going to take a different view.
Let's extend that perspective to the business of Africa and the continent. Insofar as I think you make a good point, the last, 30 years, particularly with the Bretton Woods institutions, have been dominated by a sense of ideology and the sense of what's quote unquote right. Whereas he is just like, let's look at the bottom line. Is that a positive thing for us? Do we run the risk of being exploited on the African continent in the search for minerals for, electric vehicles, for example? What should we expect from an AGOA, where he stands on the opposite side of our perspective, with the ICJ, or at least the United States Congress does in the main? And will our presidency of the G20 have any impact on that?
Well, to answer your first question, I think the African countries, particularly South Africa, has matured over the years in terms of what it wants and putting systems in place to avoid exploitation. So I think it's going to be fair business. Of course, given it will depend on the attitude of South Africa towards the United States. But we know that people such as Minister Park Stau, the first thing they did when they assumed their ministerial position was to travel to the United States on a charm offensive. And again, trying to rectify the mistakes of the past, particularly the accusations of South Africa being closer to Russia. So that seemed to have worked. And I think the relationship, therefore, is going to be a fair relationship. I don't see America embracing a specific bespoke foreign policy or economic position towards South Africa. It's still going to operate under the umbrella position that it has applied towards the entire African continent. Regarding the G20, I think is prestige. The Americans, of course, are part of the tripartite directorship or management, whatever you want to call it, because they're going to be the next country that's going to be hosting G20. So currently it's Brazil, South Africa, and America. Mm-hmm. I think that proximity is very important because it brings them together.
Yes.
And it makes us much more, it makes the situation easier for us to discuss and talk about difficult situations between ourselves and the United States.
I appreciate this take, and I like that it's a bit different from what the prevailing view is. You're reminding me that Park Stau visit was obviously also alongside the president, who took the time to have a one-on-one with Elon Musk. It's not just Starlink, but I'm sure other potential investments that they discussed, and there's another transactional partner in the Department of Government Efficiency. All in all, sounds pretty good. Thank you so much, Thembisa, for joining us this evening. Thembisa Fakude, Afrisid Senior Research Fellow and Director with slightly, not contrarian, but slightly, as you said, softened view to what we tend to hear from most commentators from a geopolitical perspective as regards Donald J. Trump.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.